Hello and welcome to another episode of the RevVR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. This episode is going to be part two, or week two, if you're keeping track, of my Build a New VR PC month. So I have deemed that August is Build a New VR PC month. Now, I'm not just doing this because I need a new machine desperately, but I'm also doing it because I have gotten a wonderful sponsor, Intel, for the podcast. And so while this is a paid advertisement from Intel, Build a New VR PC month is very special, near and dear to my heart, because it's going to do something that I haven't done in several years, which is build a new machine. And I'm so very, very excited about this. This new machine is going to be my VR rig. This is my VR gaming rig, and I'm so very, very excited to have Intel sponsor this series of episodes of the podcast. And so for those of you who have been following along and listening, this again, week two, week one, we talked to Bob, aka Cause and Effects, the Left-Handed VR podcast, and we talked all about our possibilities of specs, motherboards, and processors, and we ended up with some pretty solid decisions on what my new machine will be, and we'll talk about that. But before we do, I want to introduce a good friend of mine. He is a well-known developer in the VR space, and I value his opinions on VR almost as much as mine. And those of you who listen to me know that that's saying an awful lot. So I'd like to introduce everybody, Justin Moravetz. Justin, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
That's amazing. So, Justin, you are known for such amazing and very early VR titles such as Proton Pulse and some sort of Vanguard with a letter after it.
Yeah, something Alkari. I don't know. It gets convoluted. There's also Pulsar Arena.
Yes.
Which there's a mobile version of that. That's from the VR Jam from, 2014, 2015?
Yes, the one that beat my Froggy game. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. It wasn't your fault, actually. But yeah, so Justin, you and I have known each other for quite a long time, both kind of staples of the VR space, and you know, I always have a good time talking to you, especially when it comes to some of the nitty-gritty stuff like development and trying to make things be overly... You're the king of optimization in the VR space. Were you aware of that title?
I have seen evidence of this title, but I haven't heard it directly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been pinged quite a bit. It's like, hey, we want to get this running off of a cell phone. I'm like, I don't get paid enough for that, but yeah.
who wants to run VR on a cell phone when we've got these amazingly powered PCs available to us? PC Master Race, right? Is that
well, pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'll get into the details later, but it's really the current processing power that we've got has enabled me to do some really crazy stuff that even when I started VR development a few years ago that I couldn't touch. So it's the ride has been nuts the last few years.
So I have to ask you, just for the sake of everybody listening, the audience, the you know, the regulars are listening, and hello and thank you all for continuing to listen. But then there might be some new guys and gals that are listening, and they're listening for whatever reason. They're either budding indie developers, or they are extreme enthusiasts, or they just love the docent tones of my voice. Whatever it is that you might that might bring you to my podcast, we need to let them know a little bit more about what you're doing. So you are primarily, if maybe even exclusively, developing in Unity. Is that correct?
That is correct. We did some work in Unreal Engine 4 back in my very, very early days. I ported Proton Pulse to Unreal over the course of 3 days to run on an early prototype PlayStation Morpheus. Now, this was back when I was still with Sony, and that ended up not going anywhere, but it's primarily Unity. And what's been really great about Unity is you can try things so rapidly. I have an idea. I go into Unity, bam, bam, done. Well, that idea sucked like most of them, but every now and then you get a good one. And Unity enables that.
Yeah, Unity is, in my experience, and you know, I've dabbled quite a bit in Unreal and then back to Unity and then maybe Unreal again and then Unity. And really for me, Unity is all about the platform, you know, basically the universal platform provider. I can compile something and get virtually the same experience from multiple devices, whereas Unreal still struggles a little bit with some of the mobile devices I've found. So
I'd agree on that. Yes.
Yeah, and they might catch up. You know, we'll give them a chance. I mean, you can make some very pretty things in Unreal, but you need some very powerful processing to do so. But you know, and if you're an Unreal developer and you're designing things for the PC, then fantastic. I mean, that's perfect. There's plenty of really amazing processors out there that can handle the Unreal Engine and all of your creations with it. So, you know, Justin, have you upgraded to the latest version of the latest stable release version of Unity, the 5.4?
So it's an interesting thing because you use the word stable. Okay. But yes, I have.
Quote, I'm doing air quotes. You can't see it, but I'm doing air quotes. Stable.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I noticed about this new 5.4 build, as I was reading all of the notes, is that it takes advantage of multi-threading like nobody's business. I mean, have you seen or do you know anything about that?
Yeah, so this is something that I'm very excited about in Unity because it is very platform agnostic, but the downside of that is it's not very platform specific. And when you want to optimize, that's something you really need to pay attention to. Now, Unity has been working on getting virtual reality to be the best of the best on its platform. And so they recently introduced single pass stereo rendering. And while it's still very early, I'm still having some trouble with it. I'm seeing all over the place where you have multi-core here, multi-core there. This is something that other engines, there was an up and coming engine. I forget what it's called. I think it's from MaxPlay or something. That was their sole focus. And now I'm starting to see some of that in Unity because we have all of this processing power that we're not even tapping into. And so as these updates come in over time, we're going to see better performance with literally no code or art change. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. And really what I'm trying to get to here is, you know, with the, you know, the wide variety of multi-core and multi-thread processors out there. So, you know, Justin, I'm assuming that you didn't catch the last episode. I had chosen to build my new machine. It's going to be based on the Z170 chipset and motherboard. And then I'm going to get the Intel Core i7-6700K, which will basically give me four cores, but it's giving me eight threads. So as both a developer and a game player, anything that's built with this new Unity multi-thread capabilities, I'm going to see a huge performance boost with that processor and this latest version of Unity.
Yeah, because, I mean, I see a lot large push for upgrade your video card. And while that is important, you still have to prepare the data for your video card. And that's by doing the collision, by doing the batching of all the geometry. A lot of the stuff still relies on that CPU, and so the more cores you've got, the better.
Absolutely. And that really pushes, too. I mean, the decision, and this is where kind of the main crux of this conversation is heading. This is a great segue, is that right now, if you get an Intel Core i5 processor, you are going to be at a lower gigahertz rate, and you're going to have, with no hyper-threading, you're going to have less cores, less threads available to you. And so one of the big topics that we want to talk about this week in part two of Build a New VR PC Month is, are minimum specs right? Are they enough? Are they relevant to the average VR player or even the expert VR player or even the average just Joe Jane VR player? Is minimum specs going to be enough? And so let's dig into this a little bit. Looking at, and I just, this is great. I Googled VR minimum specs and a nice little pre-made widget box pops up. Oculus Rift. And it says graphics card, GeForce GTX 970 or AMD Radeon R9 290 or better. CPU, Intel Core i5 4590 or greater. RAM 8 gigabyte or more. Gigabytes. Video port HDMI 1.3 and then USB port, two USB 3.0 ports. And then of course Windows 7 Surface Pack 1 or newer. So that's what they gave us. That's what Oculus gave us and said these are the minimum. Now I want to point out two very, very important things. Number one, Intel Core i5 4590. Okay. That chip, that processor only has four cores, four threads, and runs at a base frequency of 3.3 gigahertz.
And that's without hyper-threading, right? And,
right. There's no hyper-threading in the Intel Core i5 processors. 3.3 gigahertz with, well, and it can be pushed for turbo frequency up to 3.7 gigahertz, is right on the edge of providing adequate performance.
So, I mean, my take on this is there's two points of observation here. One, if you are a developer for virtual reality, you're going to want something that's a little above and beyond the minimum spec so you can handle things as you're developing, because it doesn't come out of the box optimized. You need to do all of this work. It's an iterative process, and then you whittle down all the little bugs and smooth it out. So you need something a little above that for sure. However, what I am seeing as somebody who just uses VR instead of developing for it is that a lot of people don't know how to optimize for VR yet. And so you're still seeing a lot of these performance hitches, even on simple demos that requires a little bit more beef than the Intel Core i5 could provide.
Right, and it's not to say anything bad about the Intel Core i5 processors. It's going to probably provide, like, if you were going to play something extremely optimized and super simple, I don't know, let's pick something like Proton Pulse. Proton Pulse would probably play great on an Intel Core i5 4590. I mean, it probably would. But what happens when you decide to go and play raw data, which in my opinion right now is like the heaviest, beefiest, most awesomest, shout out to my Servios peeps. the one of the coolest damn games you could possibly play on the HTC Vive right now. Sorry, but I'm going to want something more than an Intel Core i5 4590 and 8 gigabytes of RAM to play that game. I mean, how often have you seen a machine choke that only just barely meets minimum specs?
Oh, quite often. I mean, even the things that don't that far exceed minimum specs, if the developer is not, how do I put this? Very experienced, I'll be in optimization.
Yeah.
Well-weathered in optimization and keeping track of your draw calls and how they batch and all of these things, you are going to see some issues. And I'm seeing a lot of interesting things from developers who, say, originated from mobile development, like the PlayStation Portable or the Vita and things, where you have to be optimized anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so every now and then you get something that runs really well. My question is, though, this minimum spec came from Oculus, and Oculus is housing a certain Mr. Carmack, who is like the optimization king of all platforms. And so I remember specifically when the PlayStation 4 was announced, that he was vocal about how the PlayStation 3 wasn't done, that there's still more you could get out of it. I'm like, yeah, that's good, but nobody's getting more out of it. So,
yeah, him saying that. That was a big deal, and I kind of felt like that was him saying almost like, well, you know, when generation VR comes out, if it can handle what the PS3 can, then we're doing okay.
So, one of the biggest differences in the current day consoles is they just added more cores to the CPU. Stuff that was much easier for the developers to tap into. And we're seeing a huge boost in multi-core optimizations game-wide. I think a huge part of that is because of the push for virtual reality. You kind of need that.
Yeah, more cores, more VR. Yep, totally agree. Yeah. I feel like, you know, in terms of, looking at some of these minimum spec machines. So let me give you an example. I'm at work and, we've got so many clients that are saying, okay, so, you know, you're building us a VR experience and this is at Studio 216. We're doing architectural visualization and, real estate stuff and we're outfitting these sales centers with VR experiences with the Oculus Rift headset. And they want us to go out and pick a machine for them. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to go and pick one of these minimum spec Alienware PCs.
Oh, no. Of course not.
I'm not. Now, I'm nothing against Alienware. I'm just not picking the minimum spec one. If Alienware has that high end, with the, Intel Core i7 6700K, which happens to be the chip that I have chosen, then that's great. Then let's go with that. Or even if they want to build something off the X99 architecture and really have that, that super beefy extreme edition, let's go for that. But I'm not going to go buy a client a minimum spec machine, because when I go to develop their stuff, I'm not developing on a minimum spec. I'm developing on an Intel Core i7 processor. And so why would I want to take that and then go run it on an Intel Core i5, not knowing whether or not it's going to be able to handle it? As a developer, I have to think about these things.
Yeah, as a developer, I have one machine specifically designed to be at the minimum spec to see how whatever I create is affecting everybody else who might be at minimum spec. But in this place that we develop our stuff, the VR dev house, nothing here is minimum spec except for that one machine. And right now it's leaning up against a wall. I need to plug it in.
It's holding the door open.
Pretty
so,
much.
So let's talk
too
about
soon it. Though, by the way.
Oh, is it? Okay. All right.
Hodor.
Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. If you haven't seen it by now, if you're on the internet, you're pretty much hosed. All right. Let's talk about VR Dev House. That's not the latest MTV reality show, is it?
No.
What is VR Dev House?
It literally is as it's described. It's a house dedicated to virtual reality development. It's where Zero Transform makes their stuff. So we have the code room, the PR room, the marketing room. We have my office, which I share with Scott Bayless, who is my business partner. But then we have the war room, which is a coffee table with a TV embedded into it that when you put on a VR headset, you still see the room and stuff floating above the TV. And everybody who is not in VR can see what's going on the coffee table itself. And that's right next to what we call the grid. And it's just a two-car garage, but we've modified it heavily to handle motion capture from natural point. We've got 12 mocap cameras in there. We've got the Vive set up, and we've got the Oculus set up. And it's very much catered for room scale testing and development. The floor is all padded, and everything is measured out accordingly. And so we're able to get some really good results from small scale sitting in a chair to large-scale, massive room simulation.
Why do I picture, Jeff Bridges in Tron on the grid? I mean, that just sounds like...
I mean, have you been looking at my Twitter feed and with my Tron coat on, or...
Yeah, right.
Is that what you're talking
about? It's just, I feel like it's just the coolest darn thing in the world that you just described, that you've got this VR dev house. I have to ask, you've got the two-car garage area set up, doing all that mocap. What kind of rigs do you have controlling those?
So I'm running a laptop that's powering the motion capture setup. It uses an Intel Core i7 processor in it, and it has the Intel RealSense camera built into it. And what's really nice about that is I can do facial motion capture with that as well. And so that handles all the mocap stuff. Then I have a desktop that's above your head. You can't reach it or anything, but we want to keep the wires out of the way. So they're suspended. That's running a Intel Core i7 and an NVIDIA GTX 980.
Wow. So you sound like you're pretty jacked up. Now, what about the laptop performance? I mean, do you feel like laptops are adequate for VR?
Well, it's an interesting thing because when I do development from home, I use a laptop primarily for development on VR. And when I started VR development, I was using a laptop then as well. Now, things have come a long way. I mean, while my old laptop could handle an Oculus DevKit 1, it certainly cannot handle the needs that I have for it now. But I'm seeing that like the bigger, beefier machines, like MSI has a machine that's got a 980M in it, which is rough from NVIDIA, which is roughly a 770 GTX. And that's technically under minimum spec, but not by much. And for doing light development when I just want to relax at home and still work, it's been pretty adequate. I mean, I've done several other VR things, like there's a beta for Big Picture or Big Screen, I believe it's called, and I can develop in Unity in that mode, and I don't notice any problems whatsoever.
Yeah, and I think a big thing, I know most of those MSI laptops, and we just got one in our office, you know, those things are coming with Intel Core i7 processors that still have the 4-core, 8-thread, you know, processing power. It's the base frequency is a little bit lower, right. But I mean, you're still getting that 8 megabyte of cache. I mean, that just 8 megabytes of cache just blows my mind, you know, and it just, I think back to like old days and I think, oh my gosh, imagine that 8 megabytes of cache. I remember when 2 was a big deal.
Remember when cache was a big deal.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because the 486 didn't have it. And the Intel Celeron at the time was sought after because it didn't have any cache. That's, you can, right, overclock it to crazy amounts and people were just breaking their processors. But
right. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you think about how far things have come and, you know, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a laptop as long as it's got the right processor in it. I think you're going to be okay for VR. And I have seen some, you know, and they've got, some of them have the, you know, GTX 980M. And I don't really think that that's the part that really makes a big difference. I think it's more along the lines of the processor. So, you know, let's take a look also at, you know, we talked about laptops, we talked about developing. What's the status on your stuff right now, Justin? I mean, your games, you've got a bunch of stuff out there in the wild. It's been out there for a while. You know, in terms of PC VR titles, what's still out there? What's to come? What's chilling? What kind of updates are we going to expect?
So, I mean, a lot of when you say I've been doing this for a while, it's all before the official launch of VR. I was working with development kits and distributing things then. But now that VR is officially here, even Proton Pulse got a major visual overhaul, and it's got unlockable things. And we went in and changed how visuals and sounds and interaction work with Proton Pulse. So when you hit a ball against a wall, it makes a sound effect, but it changes the pitch of that sound to stay in tune with the music. So everything is flashing and changing itself to accommodate what you hear as well. We pay a lot of attention to that. And that stuff is not in the Gear VR version because you simply do not have the compute power to do that. The version of Pulsar Arena that's coming out with the touch controllers, it's the same story. We have much bigger, better effects. We have much cleaner gameplay. And the touch controllers are phenomenal. Absolutely fantastic. And so we have the simulated air resistance where it vibrates more the faster your arms move. And it gives you a really neat feedback when you're not in the scene with the music and the beat and things. when you are in there, you can actually feel your hands pulse with the beat, and they swap hands back and forth, so you know exactly when a measure of music starts. I'm really looking forward to Pulsar Arena coming out later this year, the full version, because the PC version of every title I've released is what I consider the real one. The mobile ones are kind of a light heart version of, but the Pulsar Arena is going to have a couple of characters in it that we haven't fully realized yet from the Game Grumps. So you'll see Ego Raptor, who's Aaron Hansen, Danny Sexbang from Ninja Sex Party, who's also a Game Grump. They're participating in this title, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. So I like what you said, though, that you feel like the PC version is the real version of your title. I think that speaks volumes, because, you know, whether you are part of this, you know, PC master race type of mentality, you can't deny the fact that the raw processing power of a PC versus mobile is, you know, and not to downplay mobile, but you really do get a lot more out of a game when you're playing it on a PC versus a phone.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean there's no denying that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I do have one more announcement.
Oh, go for it.
There's a certain Vanguard game. And so a little backstory here. I've been trying to develop Zero Transform, build it so it has a solid platform for people, an actual team to work on virtual reality titles.
And just so everybody knows, Zero Transform is the name of your company.
Yeah, right, we recently went from LLC to incorporated.
Very cool.
And we now have some investors lined up, and we have titles, and we've been talking to Oculus, Sony, Google, everybody. And so a certain VV game is in front and center. We've got a fully playable another level sitting right in front of me. Everything is fleshed out. Everything is written up for the dialogue and the story and all that stuff. So it's been a long road for that title, because I wanted to make sure that it was done properly. And I can't wait to be able to start sharing some of what's going on there.
I'm really excited about this, because this V Vanguard W title, whatever it is, you know, it's something that you and I have joked about, you know, quite a bit. It was a lot of fun hanging out at GDC this year.
Yep.
I wish some of that video was viable. I would have totally put it on YouTube, but, you know, Periscope doesn't always provide the best quality video, unfortunately. But yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, you shared with me a few videos of some things that that just look like ridiculously amazing. And this is where, you know, you were, I think, maybe like the Archduke or, you know, prince of VR performance, but an optimization. But you're definitely, with this title, you get the king. You get the crown. You get to sit on the Iron Throne of the VR optimization kingdom. So, yeah, oh, man. I'm super excited, man.
I don't know if you've seen a recent clip, but yeah, I have this teaser video where I'm showing this amazing scene with waterfalls and refracting water and all of these things, and you're interacting and shooting down these parasites, and they're going in and out of the grass and water, and then I pull back the camera and, oh no, it's on a cell phone.
Yeah, no, that's what you were showing me. I think it was grass and some particle physics and stuff, and I just, it blows my mind. If that's what it looks like on the cell phone, then I can't wait to see what the PC version looks like, with, especially when I get done building this puppy. This Intel Core i7-6700K is going to own Vanguard Q, or whatever letter it is.
Yeah, no, it's phenomenal. We're really cranking that up to 11.
Oh, I love it. You know, everybody always says that, cranking up to 11. Obviously, that's a Spinal Tap reference. But do you think VR takes things to 12?
Well, I think it's one of those things where you don't really understand it until you put the headset on. So it's I'm not sure 12 is high enough, is what I'm getting at.
So maybe it's over 9,000 then.
Yeah, there you go. 9,000. A little side point on that. As a developer, if I'm ever close to 9,000, for whatever number I have to put in there, I always put a 1 at the end.
Yep, 9,001. That's right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's no such thing as 9,000 in the cool guy world. You have to put a 1 after it, because it has to be over 9,000. I love it. I love it. So, yeah, you know, next weekend, or actually this coming up weekend, I'm going to be taking a trip to Fry's. Fry's Electronics here in Seattle, and I'm going to be purchasing the list of toys that Cause and Effects and I have come up with. So it's going to be a Z170 motherboard with an Intel Core i7-6700K, and I'm probably going to get some sort of water cooling feature. I've been looking at hard drives still. I hadn't quite decided. You know, I know that Intel actually does have a their own line of SSDs, you know, solid state drives, and I was thinking about maybe getting something from the 750 series. I haven't decided on that yet, so I'm gonna have to go take a look and see on that. And then I'm gonna go 32 gig of RAM, and then, you know, video card, honestly, I'm just gonna stick with my GTX 980 for right now, and just kind of wait and see what happens on that front. But I think I'm ready, man.
Have you decided what kind of form factor you're going for? I mean, there's so little talk about cases.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we decided. I've got the Corsair C70, which is, and I have it in the military green, which, you know, for those of you who heard it last week, that's the same case that Palmer Luckey claims to have. So I've got the same cool guy case. So Palmer and I are case buddies. We're going to be case twins. And I'm pretty excited about that. So if he and I ever decide to go to the same LAN party and we both bring our rigs, then we'll, you know, we'll be Thunder buddies. So I'm planning on doing live Periscope at Fry's if Periscope plays friendly. And then on Sunday, I'll be slapping this puppy together, and I might do some video of that as well, because everybody enjoys watching somebody build a computer. I know I do, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, every machine here is something built. I like having machines that are small enough to stick in a backpack, but I mean, my primary Windows machine right next to me is really tiny, and it still has a 980 Ti, and it's water cooled, and the CPU is water cooled, because I like keeping things nice and cool when it's nice, when it's really, really compact like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not, you know, I understand the value of having the smaller machines, especially from portability and all that, but that, you know, this machine, it might move a little bit, but for the most part, it's all about performance. So I'm just going to go ahead and stick with, you know, with the case that I've got, and be very happy, and it'll look pretty. I'll put some lights in it. It'll look pretty.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
No, lights make it run faster.
They actually do. People don't know this. Yeah. LED light, especially if it's red or blue, will make a computer run faster. Thanks to all of you who watched my Periscope videos from this past weekend. VRLA Summer Expo was phenomenal. And I want to thank Cosbo and, you know, Johnny and John and Adam and the whole gang at VRLA, just making just an amazing expo. The first day was great. A lot of, you know, one-on-one experiences with the people at their booths. And then day two was just an onslaught of over 6,000 hungry VR enthusiasts. And it was just, to feel that energy in the room was, I mean, you could feel it. You walked in the room and you could feel it. You could smell it. Actually, the smell was mostly nerd sweat, but you could feel it. I mean, it was definitely a tangible thing. And it was really cool seeing the VR rave and meeting Reggie Watts. That was a real highlight. And then, of course, all the after parties and everything. VR Scout did a thing on Saturday night that was just, again, phenomenal. And then all the other parties as well. It was definitely an event worthy of the Hollywood scene. So
it's one of those things where if I wasn't developing games, I'd follow the other passion. We made a prototype application based off of some of the tech in Pulsar Arena that allows me to compose music, very dance techno heavy music, in virtual reality. And we kept developing it and working on it to the point where I can write almost anything in there now. It's crazy. And I'm the only one who has access to it. And it's kind of sad because it's not something I can deliver to the world, because it would need a lot more work than I have time for. But it is custom made for me right now. And I just want to go on stage and start performing and doing all this stuff. And maybe, or with my Tron coat, maybe not. That might be cheesy, but.
Gotta wear the coat, gotta wear the shades. You got to do the whole thing. That's why I wore my, for those of you who have seen me at expos before, know that I have this very high, large, gigantor sunglasses that I wear at all these expos. And they're basically old women glasses from like 10 years ago. But nowadays when people see it, they automatically think it's an HMD because that's the world we live in. And what was amazing is people, you know, they'd be looking at me, staring at me. It's like, what is he wearing? What is that? And I just touched a side or kind of like, you know, do an air pinch or something. And people, what is that? What are you wearing? Well, that's the Oculus Rift CV2 prototype. And people would sit there and stare at me. What is it? It's like, no, it's a piece of plastic I bought on Amazon for $12. You know, but I wear them. I wear them to every event that I go to. I look forward to wearing them to PAX this year and Oculus Connect 3. It's my signature look now, man, with the long hair and the old granny glasses. That's Reverend Kyle in a nutshell at expos nowadays.
Well, that stems from the desire we had for VR. For yes. A long period of our lives, we wanted to. I would pretend I was in VR until I had VR, and even that VR back in the 90s was like, oh, dude, get over it. This is not that good. And like trying to convince my friends for that long until the Oculus stuff came out was tedious and expensive.
And now that we're older, it's like, see you. I told you it was coming. We're all
back in my day. Yeah. VR had pterodactyls.
You can't get through a conversation about old school VR without coming up with Dactyl Nightmare. I think it's a given. I think it's a rule. So, all right. Well, you know, Justin, I have a feeling like, you know, people have gotten the point of this episode that, you know, minimum spec isn't enough, but there's plenty out there that you can choose from to really make sure you've got the right machine for the right experience. And, you know, obviously PC Master Race is being pushed heavily here.
Well, you say that, but I use a Mac for most of my development. Oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to say.
What are you talking about, Mac? Mac, there's no Mac VR.
Yes, sure there is, but you have to have the yeah. Hey, it's running an Intel Core i7 as well, but it's got 12 threads and 6 processors.
Ooh.
So it's
nice.
Or, I'm sorry, 12 threads and 6 cores. It's not 6 processors. That's completely wrong terminology.
Now we're starting to get into Xeon world. Let's not do that.
It's extreme.
I'll tell you, in terms of a server porn, we were looking at a thing at work just recently about we were trying to get some Xeon processors. I mean, if you want like a gazillion cores, you can get like multiple Xeons and put them on a motherboard. I found a motherboard and it was like $4,000. It held 6 Xeons. So,
what? Yes. And you can get a Xeon with 12 cores.
Right. Well, you can get
24 threads.
Yeah. You can get them now with like 20 cores.
Shit.
Like they're ridiculously, you know, they're Sorry. Out there. Yeah. They're just so powerful. But, you know, for like a render farm or something, yeah, the Intel Xeon processors. But that's not gaming.
No.
We won't talk about that.
Probably would be bad at gaming.
We won't talk about that. So anyway, so for the rest of this month, again, this is week 2 or part 2 of Build a New VR PC Month here on the Rev VR podcast. You know, and again, you know, for full disclosure, paid advertisement by Intel. Wonderful folks who are really pushing the limits in terms of VR hardware. So thanks to them for the sponsorship. And, you know, by the time we record next week, I will have the machine built and some software running on it. And hopefully I'll be able to report back on my amazing new toy. I'm so excited. Justin, what am I going to do with all this raw computing power?
Well, I could send you a couple of unreleased prototypes if you like.
Ooh. Hey, I do have touch controllers, too.
Do? Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little inside information.
Uh-oh.
If you have a touch controller, you can use Proton Pulse, the one on the store right now, with those controllers.
No way.
Way.
Well, I'm about to go try that out. And so are all 3 people who have the touch controllers that listen to this podcast. Oh, wow. Hey, Justin, I'll tell you what, man. It's always a pleasure hanging out with you. I really appreciate you doing the podcast. You know, it just thanks a bunch. And you know, good luck with all the stuff, VR Dev House and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. All right. Thanks to Justin. Thanks to Intel. And thanks to you very much for listening.